stage dramas present Is There Gold in Them There Hills? This week's front page drama, Is There Gold in Them There Hills, is a dramatization of a feature article entitled To Uncover Death Valley Scotty's Secret Hoard at Last. This is but one of the many entertaining and worthwhile features to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly. Last Sunday, the American Weekly began a new feature which is meeting with nationwide approval and acclaim from people in every walk of life. 10 Tales from the Kalevala, the Heroic Saga of Finland, fascinating fables from the folklore of the Land of Waters. These charming folk tales are told by the eminent American author John Erskine and delightfully illustrated with faithful reproductions in full color of the masterful paintings of the world-famous artist Willy Pogami. These truly magnificent works of art grace the front page of the American Weekly. You too will want to see this unusual series and most likely follow the example of hundreds of people who are preserving the covers and stories to bind and keep. The first in the series of 10 appeared last Sunday and will continue for the next 9 weeks in the American Weekly, the magazine that is read by more people than any other publication in the world. Now to our saga of a very colorful American who has captured not only the imagination of the nation, but a great big share of the headlines and space of our newspapers and magazines since he began his colorful career just after the turn of the century. In the office of the managing editor of one of the large West Coast newspapers, the M.E. is talking to one of his ace reporters.
Hey, listen, Jimmy, I think I've got an assignment that's right down your alley. How would you like to go out Furnace Creek in Death Valley and get an interview from Death Valley Scotty?
How would I like it?
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'd be tickled to death. I've been hearing and reading stories about him for years. What's he been up to now? Another record-breaking transcontinental train ride? Or has he decided to build an addition on that $3 million castle he's got out there in the middle of the desert?
Yeah, nothing like that. In fact, he hasn't done anything. He's been kind of quiet lately. We just had a tip on a story that ought to bring him out of hiding in a hurry and start him on a rampage.
Well, sounds like a great story.
It is. He's just been tipped off that Julian Gerard, brother of James Gerard, United States Ambassador to Germany in 1914, is filing a suit in federal court to force Death Valley Scotty to give an accounting of his wealth.
Where does this Julian Gerard come in to file a suit like this?
Well, back in 1902 and again in 1907, Gerard says he spent $10,000 grubstaking Death Valley Scotty, hoping to be cut in on the great bonanza Scotty was supposed to know about hidden back in the hills around Furnace Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Gerard's theory is Scotty struck it rich, but didn't divide 50-50 with Gerard, whose money made the discovery possible.
I see.
Now, Death Valley Scotty, he doesn't know about this suit yet, so I want you to go out, tell him about it, and get his reaction. It'd make a great story.
Okay, Chief. I'll leave as soon as I can get a bag packed and get out of here.
The ace reporter hurried out to Furnace Creek in Death Valley, where the heat often reaches 125 in the shade. And instead of finding the famous colorful old prospector comfortably seated in his big $3 million castle listening to his mammoth electrically powered pipe organ, Death Valley Scotty was just as snugly ensconced in a comfortable rocker in a three-room shack in the castle grounds. The reporter told Scotty about the suit.
Yes, sir, Scotty. They're not only going to make you give an accounting of all the money you've got, but you've got to tell them the source of this revenue. That big gold mine you're supposed to have.
No, sir, they don't. There ain't no smart lawyer going to get any information out of me. No, sir. There ain't no law in the land that can compel a man to pull the trigger on himself. And I ain't aiming to do it voluntarily.
But you'll have to answer their questions in court.
Not me. I ain't going to answer a single question them wise guys ask me when the trial starts. I'm not even going to nod one way or the other. I'll be the desert sphinx.
Well, they can put you in jail for contempt of court.
Well, maybe they will throw me in jail. But I've probably been in worse places. My luck's been running the wrong way lately anyhow. They send me to jail for 6 months. Well, the rest might be just what I need.
But you'll have to give them an accounting of what happened to the $10,000 Gerard grubstaked you to.
Oh, well, that. Yeah. Well, of course, if they just want to see where Gerard's dough went, I'll be happy to take them down to the valley and show them the big hole in the ground where it went. And he's welcome to all the gold he can find there, my share included.
As I understand it, Scotty, this Gerard is pretty powerful and has influence.
Yeah, that's so. What about the chances Gerard got against a plunger who built a castle, who's a lightning calculator, and keeps it all in his head? That's me, Death Valley Scotty.
Hello, Scotty.
Huh?
Oh, well, what's this?
This is my partner. They got him in this suit, too?
Why, yes. Mr. Johnson is co-defendant with you in the suit by Mr.
You're
Gerard.
In it, too.
Oh, that, yes. I know all about that, Scotty.
We'll file an answer one of these days. If we didn't, it'd go by default. We don't intend for that to happen.
Well, he ain't served me with no papers yet. But that don't matter. Ain't going to get nothing, neither information nor money out of me anyhow.
And what do you think of the suit, Mr. Johnson?
Mr. Gerard must be an optimist. To hope he can succeed where others, including some of the Internal Revenue Department's shrewdest investigators, have failed.
Oh, so the income tax boys have been after him, too, huh?
Yes. Only last year they called upon Mr. Walter Scott here in his chosen abode, which, incidentally, is the hottest, most hard-to-live-in spot of the entire habitable area of this continent. Yes, they paid him a visit. But get him to tell you the story. You'll enjoy it. Well, Scotty, I'm sorry. I've got to be running along. See you later.
Yes, sir.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, Scotty, how about your visit with the Internal Revenue man?
Oh, that. Yeah. Well, he come down here armed with all the long teeth of the law, expecting me to receive them up there in my $3 million castle. He didn't know I lived down here in the shack. Yeah, kind of disappointed to think they were. But anyhow, they blew in, two of them did. And they were, began asking me kinds of fool questions about my castle.
Mr. Scott, what have you been living on all these years if you haven't received an income that we can tax?
Well, it's like this here. I've been a prospector, and I've been looking for gold. Now, you all know what that is, don't you? Gold is what makes bankers commit suicide if they ain't got it. Makes good women go wrong and thieves out of honest men. I've just been looking for gold.
Never mind what you've been looking for. Just tell us what you've been living on.
I've been living on hope. Hope of finding gold. Now, surely there ain't no law against a man living on hope, is there?
Well, who's your banker? Who handles your accounts? Keeps your books?
My mules are my bankers. Blame good ones, too. Yes, they are. You ought to see those mules. My mules are my bookkeepers, and they keep their mouths shut. People have been trying for 40 years to find out where I got my money, and if you think I'm going to tell you fellas, then you're crazier. Crazier than a bee stone jackass heading for a water hole.
Well, what have you been using for money while you've been living on hopes of finding gold?
Well, now I'll tell you a secret if you won't let it out. I've been borrowing from Johnson.
Eh?
Yeah, he's a big insurance magnate back east in Chicago.
Oh, so you've been borrowing from Johnson,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, that's it. Now, you can't throw a fella in jail for borrowing money so he can go looking for gold, can you?
Well, no.
No, no. And you can't blame me if my credit is good, can you? No. And I can't be thrown in jail for not finding any gold, can I? No. And it ain't my fault if I can't show a profit on the deal, is it?
No. But maybe you can explain this one, Mr. Scott.
Yeah, Sonny, just call me Scotty.
Well, Scotty, if you didn't have any income, how did that $3 million castle with an electrically powered pipe organ big enough for Radio City Music Hall get down there? Ha ha. Answer me that one.
Yeah, I see. Well, now, you fellas, you've had a long, hard trip down here through the valley, and you ought to get something for your trouble. Yeah, you really should. So, you just make yourself comfortable now, listen, and I'll bust right down and tell you what happened.
Go ahead. We'll listen.
Yes, we're all ears.
All right, now, here's how it was. Over 40 years ago, I used to lay right in the shade of that rock out yonder there, fighting the infernal heat. And trying to cool off for those springs. Yeah, and I'd lay there and dream what ought to be down in this here desert. So I just dreamed that there should be a great big castle in this valley. It ought to have water, plenty of water, running water, too, and maybe ice. Yeah, and it ought to have a great big pipe organ to play nice, soft music and some chimes up high in a tower. So the chimes could be heard all over the valley. So the little mules could hear them when we neared home on the trail. Yeah. Well, all I know is that there's a castle there, the water's there, the pipe organ, and the chimes.
And so you just dreamed it there.
Yeah, that's it. Just my dreaming did it.
Yeah. You did the dreaming, but this man Johnson, who you call your partner, paid for it. That and everything else. Is that what you want us to believe? Well, is it?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, then so much for that. Now, what about the $100,000 in gold certificates you got hidden away in this mountain?
Yes, you told everybody about them. Now, how about them?
Oh,
yes,
well,
that.
Now, that's just a little nest egg I catched away in the hills back of Furnace Creek. against the day when they might need a wee bit of change in a hurry.
But why didn't you declare them when the president issued the call to turn them in?
Didn't you know the government made it a crime to own any of those notes bearing a promise to pay in gold?
Yeah, I know it. But the whole trouble is, I hid the doggone money so well, I've never been able to find it. But I hope to get looking again soon, and I'll find it.
They'll be confiscated, and in addition, you will be subject to a fine of another $100,000 and 10 years in prison.
Is that so? My, what a piece of tough luck it'd be if I should happen to find my own money. My, but then I'd forgotten that I'm protected just in case I should wander into that part of the desert and find them.
Protected?
What?
Yeah. How can you be? No one can excuse you from fine and imprisonment except Mr. Morgenthau, the Secretary of the Treasury.
And Mr. Morgenthau can only extend the time limit for the delivery of gold certificates only if it is shown that the said delivery involved extraordinary hardship.
You're quite right there. Well, he's the gent I wrote to and got an answer from. I got what? A letter here someplace. Now, wait a minute. Here's a copy of the one I wrote to him, and here's his answer. You want to read it?
Yes, I certainly do. Yes, thank you. I, Walter Scott, state that about 30 years ago, I buried and placed in caches in the mountain ranges in the vicinity of Death Valley about $100,000 in United States gold certificates. That, due to heavy rains, cloudbursts, erosion, and various vicissitudes of land and weather over a period of years, the surface conformation of the mountains, canyons, and trails have changed and altered, increasing the physical hazards and difficulty of relocating the gold certificates buried and placed in caches as above. In my efforts in the past few years, I've suffered physical accidents such as broken ribs, loss of one fingertip, broken ankles, and crippled feet from falls in the rocks and other accidents, incidents traveling in the mountains on foot, muleback, and horseback.
Yeah.
I believe that my physical condition is now such that, barring unforeseen and future accidents, I am able to make an attempt to recover those gold certificates buried in the mountains. And I herewith request the Secretary of the Treasury to extend the time within which delivery of such gold certificates may be made until October 1st, 1941.
Yeah. What was the answer?
Yeah, that's our letter.
Is this the answer?
Yeah, yeah.
Dear Mr. Scott, your letter of the 10th instance received. After careful investigation and due deliberation on the merits of your claim for an extension of time in which to recover and deliver gold certificates lost by you in the mountain ranges in the vicinity of Death Valley, I do hereby grant you the extension requested, that is, October 1st, 1941. Well, that's genuine enough. I guess it's all okay.
Come on, Jackson. We're just wasting our time here. There's nothing we can get on him yet.
Yes, let's go. He's too much for me.
So you see, Sonny, they went away empty-handed, too. So I ain't worried too much about this Gerard fella's claim. See it this way, son. Death Valley Scotty's wealth always looks like millions from a distance. But it vanishes just like a desert mirage when you try to put your fingers on it.
That just about describes Death Valley Scotty's fabulous fortune, over which there has been such a great deal of debate. Some people say that under the castle, a secret door leads to a vein of almost pure gold. Others believe that it lies somewhere else and have tried to follow Scotty's mysterious mule trip into the parched desert and mountains. Some of the spies never came back, and none ever found out anything. Another group believes the only gold the desert mystery man ever found came from the insurance tycoon's pocket. You have just heard the front page drama, Is There Gold in Them There Hills? A dramatization of a feature article entitled To Uncover Death Valley Scotty's Secret Hoard at Last, which will be featured in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.